Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
I'm so glad that you've joined us on Monday. My name is Stephen Mansfield, and today's a special day for us here this week before Thanksgiving. We want to talk about gratitude. We want to talk about how grateful we are. And you know, it's probably a good moment for me to say how grateful we are to you. If you've been tracking us over the last months, you know that we used to do a Derek Prince show that was 15 minutes in length. And then the opportunity came to do a 30-minute show. It gave us a chance to have more teaching, to have guests, for us to explore some topics. And we've been doing that for the last 8 weeks. And it's been a wonderful ride. We're getting tremendous feedback. Great things are happening. And this is largely because of you, the supporters of Derek Prince Ministries and the listeners. We just are thrilled at the way that this radio show is impacting lives. People are hearing it. People are applying the truths to their lives. And this 30-minute Sega show is giving us such a great opportunity to explore the truths that God poured out largely through Derek Prince. I'm very, very thankful. I'm also thankful for this show today. I am a historian by background and training. Love the story of the Pilgrims. Love the story of the first Thanksgiving. And Derek Prince was actually one of the first leaders in the more recent era of the body of Christ to explore these themes, to write about the Pilgrims and the voyage of the Mayflower and themes like that in conjunction with the whole theme of gratitude and giving thanks to God. And I think he actually reawakened some things in our national consciousness as Americans and hopefully for others around the world. So today he's going to be talking about this whole theme of gratitude and thanksgiving as it first begins with the Pilgrims, and at least in American history, and then as it extends into our lives as a theme of Scripture. I want you to take some time as we talk about this theme to really explore in your own life the areas of gratitude that you ought to be expressing to God and others. This is going to be such a vital teaching. And listen, if at any point you missed the shows in the next few days, you can always log on to DerekPrince.org and you'll find all of these teachings and a whole lot of other material. Now let's get to it. As Derek Prince teaches us about showing our gratitude.
I want to speak about the historical background of Thanksgiving. Why do we, as a nation, celebrate Thanksgiving? What is the origin of this tradition? Of course, we're all familiar with the fact that this is associated with the Pilgrims, the Pilgrim Fathers, who first landed on the coast of America and who are, in some sense, the spiritual ancestors of our nation. In order to answer these questions about the historical background of the celebration of Thanksgiving, I'm going to take the liberty to read several passages from a book of mine entitled Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. In this book, I explain, amongst other things, how I first became interested in the Pilgrims. You should understand that with my British background, when I first came to the United States, I knew almost nothing about the Pilgrims. They were a complete blank in my historical education, which I had received in Britain. So in order to explain how I first became interested in the Pilgrims, which was a decisive moment in my own life, I'm going to read a section from my book, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. In 1970 and 1971, the city of Plymouth, Massachusetts, celebrated the 350th anniversary of the landing of the Pilgrims at that point on the coast of America. A special committee was appointed by the city to organize various kinds of celebration that were appropriate to the occasion. This committee paid me the honor of inviting me to give a series of addresses in the Church of the Pilgrimage in the city of Plymouth. During my visit to Plymouth, two members of the committee were kind enough to show me the main places of historical interest, and also to introduce me to some of the original records of the period of the Pilgrims. In this way, I became acquainted for the first time with the book The History of Plymouth Plantation by William Bradford. Having been educated in Britain, I do not recall ever having learned anything at school about the Pilgrims. The phrase Pilgrim Fathers, commonly used by Americans, had created in my mind a vague impression of severe old men with long white beards, probably attired in dark formal clothing similar to that associated with ministers of religion. I was surprised to discover that the majority of the pilgrims at the time of their arrival in America were still young men and women. For example, William Bradford was 31 years old in 1621 when he was first appointed governor of the colony. Most of the other pilgrims were of about the same age or younger. As I studied Bradford's own first-hand account of the founding of Plymouth Colony and of its early struggles, I developed a strong sense of spiritual kinship with him and his fellow pilgrims. I discovered that their whole way of life was based upon the systematic study and application of the scriptures. With the main conclusions and convictions to which this study led them, I found myself in complete accord. Having obtained my own degrees in the University of Cambridge in England, and having held a fellowship at King's College, Cambridge, I was particularly interested to see how many of the pilgrims' spiritual leaders had received their education at Cambridge. Three of those most closely associated with the pilgrims' story were Richard Clifton, John Robinson, and William Brewster. Clifton was the elder of the original congregation at Scrooby in England. Robinson was the elder of the pilgrims' congregation at Leiden in Holland. Brewster was the elder who actually travelled over on the Mayflower and became the chief spiritual leader of the original colony in Plymouth. All three of these men received their education at Cambridge. For this reason, I feel that I need offer no apology for quoting from Bradford's book various passages that relate to the theme of our present study. In particular, now I'd like to read a very brief passage in which he defines the motives which prompted the pilgrims for their whole undertaking. Why did they take that long, arduous journey, face all those risks and hardships? Bradford outlines their motive clearly.
I want you to think about how grateful those early pilgrims must have been. They sailed across the North Atlantic for 66 days on a ship the size of a volleyball court. 100 people on it, one-third of them children. And when they arrived in the New World, they didn't even arrive where they were heading. They arrived way north of it in a howling wilderness at that time, later would be called Massachusetts. And yet, after a year in which half of their family members and friends starved to death, they had a glorious harvest, and so they held the first Thanksgiving, welcoming their Indian friends. I know it's an image that lives in our second grade textbooks, but it's real, it's true, and it ought to inspire us to gratitude as well. Derek is teaching us about how that first example of gratitude and thanksgiving should inspire us as well to live in a passion for offering gratitude and thanksgiving to God. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Of all the books in the Bible, one speaks most clearly to the needs of the soul, the Psalms. When you need assurance, the Lord is my shepherd. Or when fear grips your mind and heart, and no evil shall befall us. Now Derek Prince escorts you through these wonderful words of comfort in Through the Psalms with Derek Prince. This powerful book offers Derek's unique personal insights into all the Psalms and provides a helpful index to the scriptures that speak to your specific needs. In writing this book, it was Derek's sincere prayer that his personal meditations would help you draw closer to God than ever before. To order your copy of Through the Psalms with Derek Prince for only $14.95, call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Going through the Psalms with Derek Prince will set you on a course of refreshing discovery and makes a wonderful gift for Christmas. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
We Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio, and we're in a series with Derek Prince on showing gratitude, and I love the fact, given that I'm a historian who likes to explore all these things that usually are presented in a boring fashion in our school textbooks, I love the fact that Derek is talking about the Pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving and the voyage of the Mayflower. What a great thing to remember here this week before Thanksgiving, and what a great time for us to renew our gratitude to God. But let's get right to it, as Derek tells us more not only about the Pilgrims, not only about the Mayflower, but about a heart of gratitude.
Bradford outlines their motive clearly, and I'll read as follows. In his fourth chapter, Bradford describes the main motive of the Pilgrims in undertaking their journey to America. This is what he says. Lastly, and which was not least, a great hope and inward zeal they had of laying some good foundation for the propagating and advancing of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in those remote parts of the world. Yea, though they should be but even as stepping stones unto others for the performing of so great a work. So that was their motive, to lay a foundation for the propagating and advancing of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. Then I want to read a passage in which he describes their hardships when they first landed at Cape Cod and how they overcame those hardships simply by the faith they had in God and in the Scriptures. In Chapter 9, Bradford describes the arrival of the Mayflower at Cape Cod and the many dangers and hardships which the Pilgrims encountered. He concludes the chapter as follows. What could now sustain them but the Spirit of God and His grace? May not the children of these fathers rightly say, Our fathers were Englishmen, which came over this great ocean, and were ready to perish in this wilderness, but they cried unto the Lord, and he heard their voice and looked on their adversity. This is Bradford's own paraphrase of Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 5 and 7. He continues, Let them therefore praise the Lord because he is good, and his mercies endure forever. Yea, let them which have been redeemed of the Lord show how he hath delivered them from the hand of the oppressor. When they wandered in the desert wilderness out of the way, and found no city to dwell in, both hungry and thirsty, their soul was overwhelmed in them. Let them confess before the Lord his loving kindness and his wonderful works before the sons of men. This is Bradford's own version of Psalm 107, verses 1 through 5 and verse 8. So that's the background of Thanksgiving. That's the kind of men, the motives that brought them here. Now I'm going to continue by reading Bradford's own account, an eyewitness account of the situation which actually is the origin of Thanksgiving, the saving of the Pilgrim's harvest in the year 1623. This is what Bradford says. In the summer of 1623, the Pilgrim's carefully planted crop of corn was threatened by a great drought which continued from the third week in May till about the middle of July, without any rain and with great heat for the most part, insomuch as the corn began to wither away. It began to languish sore, and some of the drier grounds were parched like withered hay. Upon which they set apart a solemn day of humiliation to seek the Lord by humble and fervent prayer. And he was pleased to give them a gracious and speedy answer, both to their own and the Indians' amazement. For all the morning and the greatest part of the day it was clear weather and very hot, and not a cloud or any sign of rain to be seen. Yet toward evening it began to overcast, and shortly after to rain with such sweet and gentle showers as gave them cause of rejoicing and blessing God. Then I comment to myself, normally if rain had fallen at all in such conditions, it would have been in the form of a thunderstorm, which would have beaten down the corn and destroyed the last hope of a harvest. But on this occasion, Bradford goes on to relate, it came without either wind or thunder or any violence, and by degrees in that abundance as that the earth was thoroughly soaked therewith, which did so apparently revive and quicken the decayed corn and other fruits, as was wonderful to see, and made the Indians astonished to behold. And afterwards the Lord sent them such seasonable showers, with interchange of fair warm weather, as through his blessing caused a fruitful and liberal harvest, for which mercy, in time convenient, they also set apart a day of thanksgiving. So that is the historical background of the Day of Thanksgiving, which we will be celebrating as a nation. As I come to the end of my message, I want to ask you to ponder on three things. The kind of men that the Pilgrims were, the motives that they had, And then bear particularly in mind throughout this week, as you hear the word Thanksgiving in so many ways, that Thanksgiving commemorates a miracle in answer to prayer. Now I'd like to close by praying for you and me, our God and the God of our nation. We want to thank you for your faithfulness to the pilgrims, your faithfulness to us this day. We are alive, we enjoy prosperity, abundance, and many other blessings because of your faithfulness. And then this time and this week, we want to acknowledge your faithfulness and give you thanks in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
You know, those original pilgrims, people we remember every Thanksgiving, they weren't just plaster saints. They weren't just cartoon characters. They weren't just people who lived in some distant period. They were real flesh and blood human beings. And you know, without getting into all the details of the story, basically they were a congregation of believers who found themselves exiled from England, living in Holland for 12 years. But as they prayed, they began to have a vision for being what they called a stepping stone of the light of Christ in a new world. And so in 1620, they sailed across the ocean, 66 days across the frigid North Atlantic, in water so cold you would die if you were just in it for 3 minutes. Their ship was no bigger than a volleyball court, really. It was a wine barge. And they landed in a howling wilderness. And you know what? When they landed in that new world, they fashioned a covenant, basically, because they weren't in the land that they had hoped to sail to. They were way north of it. And so they had to have some kind of governing document. And in that document called the Mayflower Compact, they said, "We sailed for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." Now, this is not something you often read in the textbooks. This is not something people want to emphasize very much. But those original pilgrims said, "We sailed not to escape religious persecution, not to conquer a land and gain its gold. We sailed for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." And you know, I'll tell you something else. It's a little bit humorous in a sense, but you know, when you picture pilgrims, don't you picture people with great big black hats with buckles on them for some reason, and great big white collars and black boots and great big old buckles in the middle, look like they won about 10 rodeos? You know, those aren't the pilgrims. Those are the classic image of the Quakers. The pilgrims were people who wore bright colors, and they had fiddling contests, and they enjoyed life. They had races and sports. In other words, they weren't just the narrow caricature of Christians that come from our early history, unfortunately. They were alive, and they were happening, and they were doing things in the world because they believed that God had called them to. And they said, "We sailed for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." And you know, they arrived too late in the year. They had planned to come earlier, so they actually ended up arriving just before what would be our Christmas time. And so they hit just as the cold of Massachusetts was really deepening, and half of them died. And that following fall, after they had survived the death of half of them and had finally had a good harvest, they had a great Thanksgiving, and they invited their Indian friends, and they celebrated for 3 days with games and contests and all kinds of food. And I know that the reason that Derek is emphasizing this story is that it basically says that America began, it really was founded in an attitude of reliance upon God and gratitude for what he had provided. And much of what we've enjoyed in America, and I know there are people listening who aren't just from the United States, but I know you'll let us for a few moments just talk about this particular theme, that much of what we enjoy in America has come because a people, at least a remnant, have maintained a heart of gratitude. I want to urge that on you today. I know that this is an important theme, and that's why Derek is developing it so extensively, because we must have hearts of gratitude. There's so much more to come, including a special guest here in the studio, as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
The passing of Derek Prince did not mean the end of Derek Prince Ministries. Instead, it marked a new beginning.
If I had only one message to leave to posterity, my family, my friends, whoever it might be, I would say it in three words: God is faithful.
And to succeed, we need your help. Through your gifts and offerings, you play a part in taking Derek's powerful and practical teaching to countless lives and hearts. Through the printed word, audio, video, and more, you keep the ministry of Derek Prince alive and active throughout the world. And of course, your partnership makes it possible to keep ministry, encouragement, and biblical insights coming to you and your family as well. For that, we are very grateful. To honor both the memory and the wishes of Derek Prince, will you stand with us as we continue the work he started so well and loved so much?
prayerfully consider taking an active part in carrying on the legacy of Derek Prince's life and ministry by making the most generous gift you can to Derek Prince Ministries. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit our secure website at derekprince.org. Please make the most generous gift you can and be assured your gifts will be used prayerfully and prudently to keep the teaching of Derek Prince coming to you and others. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us on the web at derekprince.org.
God is faithful.
Thank you for standing with us.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and joining me in the studio today is the president of Derek Prince Ministries, Dick Leggett. Dick, great to have you back.
Stephen, good to be with you again.
You know, Dick, organizations can be grateful just as surely as human beings. My guess is this time of year, the DPM has a great deal to be grateful for.
Oh, we've had a great year, and it's really due mostly to the generosity of the people who are involved with the ministry. Stephen, you just can't believe the letters that we received from people. I'll give you an example. We had a fellow who had been touched by the ministry probably 10 years ago and had responded at that time and gave, you know, a contribution. We just recently received a check from this man of, you know, a very, very substantial amount. And he said it was because of his great gratitude for the impact that Derek had had on his life. So it's just astonishing. You know, those things happen and you just realize, first of all, how good God is. But then, secondly, you realize how generous his people are. So we just want to say thank you to the people who have been involved with Derek Prince Ministries over the years. And thank you to those who have made this radio program possible. And I want to say to you right now, we're very grateful to you. We're very aware of the fact that we couldn't be doing this without you. So thank you so much.
Dick, what scripture comes to mind as we head towards this Thanksgiving week? What scripture comes to mind regarding gratitude and thanksgiving?
The scripture that is very much tied in with thanksgiving is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let every detail of your need be known to God." And that is a very important point. You know, we get in tough situations and we cry out to God and we say, "Oh God, help us, please. We need your help." But we also need to include in that petition an aspect of thanksgiving where you say, "Lord, I'm asking you this because I need it, but I also am full of thanksgiving." And thanksgiving, basically, I think, is a recognition of God's faithfulness. As you pray, you say, "God, you've been so faithful. You have done things for me that I don't deserve. But because of your love and faithfulness, you've supplied when I had a need." And when you recognize God's faithfulness with that kind of thanksgiving, what it does is it inspires hope. So I just want to say to you right now, if you're facing a desperate situation, if you're discouraged, if you're down in the dumps, if you're really hoping that God will meet you, I can say, first of all, he will. But I want to just encourage you to come to him, not only with your prayer, but also with thanksgiving for what he's done in the past. And it will inspire hope in you.
That's clearly the attitude in which this country was founded, and I trust it'll be that whole attitude will be restored to this generation, if not through any other means, then hopefully through this broadcast.
Right.
Dick, it's great having you with us.
Thanks, Stephen. Good to see you again.
I'm so glad for all of you who are listening. Be sure and log on to the website, derekprince.org. You can listen to these teachings. And as I've said before, I just can't think of anything better to be listening to on Thanksgiving Day as the turkey's being cooked and food's being prepared than this teaching for those who are missing it. For Dick Leggett, for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, and for me, Stephen Mansfield, we're so glad you're listening. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your own copy of Through the Psalms for only $14.95 when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771.
It's because of the faithful financial support of friends like you that Derek Prince Legacy Radio is on the air. Call now with your special gift and help keep the legacy alive. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can send your support securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.